AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. The first thing I'd like to get into here is the defunding of PBS and NPR. So, my thoughts on this are pretty simple. I don't think we should have state media. And yes, even when these things were not as far left, even when PBS and NPR were not as far left as they are now, they were still state media. Because state media is media that is funded by the government. I know I normally hate the use of the word you're defining in the definition of the word, but media is such a broad concept that I'm not sure there's another word that could adequately describe the word media and the things that it is intended to entail, both traditional media and non-traditional forms such as podcasts and social media. So, then, in political science, it is common to use the word state to refer to a nation or a government. If you're talking about government, it's often the state, especially in political theory. And, you know, since the state, in this case, the U.S. government, was providing a large portion of the funding for PBS and NPR, which are, as we've established, media, then you could make the argument that they were state media. Now, even before they went far, far left after 2016, they weren't quite like North Korean state media. They did at least try to appeal to everyone or a significant subset of the population. However, they were still largely funded by the government. They did have pledge drives, but those only went so far. And then after 2016, PBS and NPR went farther to the left. And my thought on this is that while I don't think we should have state media at all, if we're going to have it, then it should adhere to its original mission, which is to provide programming that is informative and entertaining and otherwise enriching to, if not the entire population, at least a large subset of it. So, like, if you have a program on your state media channel or station, and that program is about cars, not everybody's going to care about cars, but if it's an informative program that is talking about cars, about how to fix them, how to maintain them, different types of cars, how to identify different types of cars, what could be next in the future of cars, what was it like to drive a car in the past, you know, stuff like that that I might not find very interesting, but some people find that stuff to be very engaging. But even if I'm not interested in the content, the subject matter, I'm at least not going to feel alienated if you put on a podcast where some guy's talking about cars for 3 hours. I may tune out after a while, but it's not because I feel like I'm being attacked or threatened. It's just that I don't care as much about cars as maybe you do. I used cars as an example, partially because apparently there was a program on NPR called Car Talk. It was before I was really old enough to pay attention to what was going on the radio, really. And I don't think we ever listened to it, because I think Mom kind of started listening to NPR a bit later on, and when she did, it was on the way to school, so it was in the morning, and it was the news bulletins and stuff, or it was when she picked me up from school and it was Hidden Brain or one of their All Things Considered programs. But apparently it was a thing. So that's why I used cars as an example. And also because, you know, cars are an apolitical, unless they try to make it political, where they talk about wanting to mandate EVs and all this climate change nonsense. But like, traditionally, cars are an apolitical concept that only some will find interesting. And so, you know, if a station is providing informative content that not everybody's interested in, but nobody's going to really feel alienated when they hear it. I don't think that should be funded by the government. But if we must have programming that is funded by the government, it should be that. It should be enriching, informative. It doesn't have to necessarily appeal to every single living soul, but it should at least be politically neutral to the best of its ability. It shouldn't talk about nonsense like climate change and evolution. It should not try to teach false religions. You know, it should just be neutral to the best of our ability. Now, I have covered in the past that there is no real such thing as neutral education. I even did a whole episode, I believe. If it wasn't a whole episode, it was at least a good segment where I talked about all the things you would have to leave out, and I probably missed some, if you were going to have a truly neutral education. But neutral topics are things that it may be hard to definitively list them all, but you know them when you see them, you know, like cars. Sports can be not neutral in the most textbook sense, in that nobody will have opinions. Some people I've met couldn't care less if they tried about sports, and others have strong passions when it comes to their favorite teams and such. I have been open. I'm a Chiefs fan in football. I'm a Cardinals fan in baseball, and I like Purdue when it comes to college sports. Those are just my views on sports teams. But even then, you know, people are going to have opinions about sports, but the people who are going to actually, like, fight it out, physically fight it out over sports teams are a significantly small minority. Most people, even if they have an opinion about sports, they can at least respect the humanity of those who like teams that they really don't like. And I mean, you'd like to think that politics are the same way, but sadly, politics, especially in this day and age where it's very polarized, politics is one of those subjects that can result in fists flying. So where I'm going with this is that, as I have said, my view on this is we should not have government-funded broadcasting. Stations should be expected to stand on their own two feet with subscriptions or with other private funding. And that's especially true when you consider the fact that this is not 1986. People have access to the internet. A lot of people have at least one streaming service. And if they don't, there's also YouTube, which, yes, it has ads, but it also is free. The version with ads is free. There are so many other options you have now other than your TV and radio stations. So it's not like kids will no longer have anything to watch, which is something you hear some say. I've heard some say, well, what about kids, especially those with disabilities? Yes, they have other things they can watch. They can watch movies. They can watch shows on Netflix. They can watch things on YouTube. There are so many other options. There are other channels that cater to kids. Cartoon Network, anyone? So I think that people are making this much more of an issue than it actually is. I think I have no problem with stations having a political lean. I have no problem with the existence of things like Daily Wire Plus, for example. If I did, I wouldn't be subscribed to it. But that's the thing. I'm not expecting the government to pay for it, okay? It's a subscription-based station. It also has some free podcasts and stuff. It's not a kids show. I think they do have a kids platform now, but like, you know, where I'm going with that is that I have no problem with stations having a political lean, even if it is one that I am very much against, even if it is one that I couldn't disagree with more if I tried. I still don't think that, you know, the government should raid its offices and arrest all of the people who are involved with that station and put them all in jail. I don't think that. I think that, however, that station should not receive government funding. It should not be a state-run station. Just like I don't think a station that I absolutely love should be a state-run station, because, as I've said before, the government's job is to provide, you know, basic defense of our country. That does not mean going to war with their brother-in-law and everyone else in the world. The government should provide assistance to regions that are afflicted by natural disasters. If the area cannot afford the rebuilding costs and its neighbors cannot cover all the rebuilding costs on their own. So like if a massive earthquake hits or a massive wildfire hits or a massive tornado hits, I'm fine with the government chipping in a little bit for that. And like roads and bridges, I think should be funded as much by the state and local governments through which they run as possible. But if absolutely needed, especially if the area, if the road or bridge is going into, like, is passing through two or more states. I know a bridge wouldn't pass through more than two states, most likely, but you never know. Then I have no problem with the government providing a little bit of that, the emphasis on a little bit, and only if the local areas in the states cannot fund the whole cost of the venture or cannot sign contracts with private entities that can do the same. And I think the government should protect our borders, which I guess that does go hand in hand with defending the homeland, but like that's part of how you defend the homeland, but like some people don't realize that yet. So I felt the need to clarify. So essentially, I think the government should be a very bare bones presence in people's lives. People should not have to interact much with the federal government. I even think that, you know, state and local governments shouldn't be too hands-on in people's lives. But hey, if you live in California and you love all the regulations in California, well, ultimately, I don't think it's my place to say that you can't have all your over-regulated entities in California, because you're in California and I'm in Indiana and I don't plan to move to California. So, you know, if you love having a $20 an hour minimum wage so that every time you go to McDonald's, they've only got three people working there, well, ultimately that's on you. That's what you want. But don't try to make that federal. In fact, I don't even think we should have a federal minimum wage. I think each state should set their own minimum wage. And even in that, each city and county, if they wish, should set their own minimum wage. But going back to the issue of PBS and NPR, They're the ones who decided to bite the hand that feeds them. They're the ones that decided to move far to the left, and alienate large segments of the population. So I'm not shedding a single tear for them. And now I'd like to move to the quote-unquote war on Harvard. Again, no tears to be found, because Harvard is the one that decided, like a lot of other universities, to move far, far to the left. Harvard's the one that decided to be anti-Semitic and anti-white. And Harvard is the one who thinks it should still be entitled to federal funds, while also alienating large segments of the population, and failing to protect the safety of students on its campus during quote-unquote protests, and also churning out large amounts of elitist liberals who think the exact same things the university does. I know not every kid who goes to college comes out a liberal. I can say myself that I went off to school as a left-wing crazy person, and I came out as a pretty conservative person, and my politics have continued to evolve. I hate the word evolve, but they have continued to change even since I graduated, so that instead of being a big government conservative, I'm now more of a small government conservative. I know I'm talking about me a lot there, but hey, it's an example. I'm using myself as an example of someone who did not come out of college a liberal, but I think I might be in the minority. A lot of people go to college. I'm not sure how many of them go to college conservative and come back liberal. A lot of them might be apolitical or might not exactly know where they stand and then come out more liberal, or they may have always been liberal and college just emboldened them. That's always a possibility. My mom likes to say that when people age, they don't necessarily become worse, they just become more so, whatever tactic, or I should say, whatever personality trait was very pronounced in them becomes more and more, not exactly exaggerated, maybe that's the right word, but definitely more noticeable as they age. And I mean, I have noticed that too. I agree with her on that. And so it could be that some of these kids already had some of those characteristics and some of those thoughts and some of those, you know, some of those worldviews before they went off to college, and then college just made them more so. And even if it didn't make them more so, they got older while they were in college, and that contributed as well. You also have to think that a lot of kids are very impressionable, because the brain is not fully developed until you're 25 or 26. So a lot of the people who went off to college apolitical or not knowing where they stand, it might not be that they don't care about politics or didn't care when they went off to school as much as they didn't know what to think. They were too young to know what they thought. And then they were, let's just say, heavily persuaded in one direction. And so I don't have any sympathy really for Harvard, because it's the one that got itself in this mess to begin with. If it had just stayed out of politics, if a lot of universities had just stayed out of politics and had fostered a more open dialogue, which a lot of them claim was their original mission, we would probably not be here right now. Because I can say personally that when I was in college, I didn't go to Harvard, thank goodness. But when I was in college, as I grew in my faith. And as I became more conservative, I got kicked out of stuff and I got bullied a lot. I actually had two girls walk up to me in the library and start screeching at me, calling me a vicious racist because what was my crime? Not liking the musical Hamilton. And I didn't even say exactly why I didn't like the musical Hamilton. I was just commenting I didn't like the musical Hamilton and, oh my gosh, you're a racist. And that was, you know, that was one incident, but that does illustrate where some people's heads are at. So, I mean, it is worth mentioning here. So those are basically my thoughts on these two supposed controversies. I don't see what's so controversial here. I mean, these institutions decided they made their bed, now they gotta lie in it. So those are basically my thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon Music, the iHeartRadio, Pandora, and the RSS feed. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please come back next time and pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. Thank you so much and have a blessed day.